Gosh, the message I had today was, well, it was really, this is designed for everybody, but especially married couples. And we got one married couple here today. Huh? Where's your wife? Oh, us. Wise guy. Well, I was hoping other ones. There's Donald and Melissa. Willie and Sherry, there's April and that, Doug. You guys been praying for me? You know I need help. Yeah. I think I'm going to go ahead with it because they can get it on CD. So don't think I'm just preaching at you or something. This, when I heard this message, I was so struck by it. I know when I got this message, is right after I got surgery on my hand, it was like I came home and it was the next day or something. And we have found this program on TV. It's on TCT. And it's you know who Lynn and Kathy Minks is? Well, Len Minks was the main singer guy for Copeland's ministry whenever they have their believers' conventions and stuff. He's super talented. And Len is Kathy's his wife. And I think his name is spelled L-E-N, isn't it? Not the same as Brother Len down there. L-Y-N-N, or is that how you spell your name? But we found out this Kathy Minks is like this really good teacher. I mean, really good. And they're both on there together. And he just—he talks too, but he kind of compliments her. She is just an excellent teacher. And they did a teaching on the strife, you know. And so I started listening. It's like, whoa, boy, the Lord just exploded this in my spirit, I guess, kind of. It was so good. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And the more I listened, the more I learned. And the more I was determined, you know, I wanted what she was talking about, what they were talking about. Amen? Strife, you know, here's a good thought. You can live a strife-free life. Strife. Not stress, but strife. Stress and strife, two different things. And you can have a strife-free home. Okay? Now, you know, you tend to think about married couples in their home, but strife, you know, I was thinking strife, you can have strife any place. You could have it on the job. You know, you could be in a situation, like some guys, fortunately enough, they don't have to be around a lot of people when they're working, you know, like a truck driver, this or that. Where I worked as a machinist for 35 years, Sometimes, there was lots of guys, you know, and all this, and there would be strife between certain individuals and this. But you can have strife with somebody else, you know, or strife on the job. But, you know, I think they were mostly talking about strife in your home. And so we're going to talk about how to deal with strife. And as I said, some of this might be mine, but most of it is all from Lynn and Kathy Minks, okay? Because I think the Lord just kind of downloaded it in me. So here's the thing, you know, strife is toxic. Toxic. T-O-X-I-C. It's bad for your home and it's bad for your health. Amen? Okay. One of the definitions of strife is a lack of agreement or harmony, bitter conflict and rivalry. Also toxic, involving something poisonous. Well, you stop and think about it. If you have some really intense strife, you're kind of poisoning the atmosphere in your home, right? Or wherever it's at. Okay. So it can relate to relating or containing to poison or toxic or toxin. One reason why strife is poison is because it stops your faith from working. If you get into really intense strife, it just kind of overrides everything. Everybody is upset. It's just a tremendous thing. And it stops the blessings of God, you know, from really moving the way it should. It's no fun, right? No fun. It's turmoil. And another thing, too, it's not good for your immune system. You know, if you're totally stressed out and you're in strife and things are bad, it's not good for your immune system. You know, that's a proven fact, you know, that, stress is harmful. It's not good for your health. Okay? That's not hard to understand, is it? No? Maybe somebody say amen once in a while.
Amen.
Okay, bro. This isn't a jumping, shouting hallelujah message, but I'll tell you it's important. Because I'll tell you why. Well, let's turn to James 3:16 and you'll find out why. This is our main scripture here. James 3:16. The new NIV, it doesn't use the word strife in this particular Bible. What does anybody have? What read yours?
For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
Okay. So for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Okay? Now, envy and strife are not always coupled together, but this particular scripture is talking about where there is strife. Okay, and for most purposes, we're talking about the home. When there is strife in the home, there is confusion in every evil work. Now, Kathy Ming, she said, the Lord, you know, that can't be necessarily true because you have strife in your home. Every evil work is not necessarily present in your home, right? She said God showed her what that meant was what you're doing with strife is opening the door. Okay, now I think that makes sense, right? With strife and stuff, you open the door to these things happening through strife. Okay? The opposite of strife would be love, right? If you're either walking in love, if you're just walking in strife with somebody, that's the opposite of love, right? There's just some really bitter feelings and different things going on there. So in the thing that she said to, that really jumped out too was, if you eliminate strife from your home and your marriage, you jump up levels of maturity in the Lord. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? If you eliminate strife from your home and your marriage, you jump up levels of maturity in the Lord. Because there's so much involved in here. Let's face it, somebody's got to be fleshing out here, right? Somebody's got to be fleshing out. Okay, and you know, the devil can come along and have somebody just trigger the whole thing. They're going to come up and they're going to say something, they're going to do something that is going to press your button, brother. You know what I mean? And then the whole idea is to get you to respond to it. And now it's, you know, strife city. Okay? You got to understand, and you have to think like that. I'm learning. I'm not always there. But I know something starts happening in my house, and I go, oh, the devil is trying to start something here. He's trying to start strife in my home. You know? I'm going to stop it right now, man. I'm going to squelch it out. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You got to understand the enemy is wants to destroy your life. He wants to wreck your peace of your house and everything else, okay? That really caught my attention. She said, if you eliminate strife from your home and your marriage, you jump up levels of maturity in the Lord. Because then we have peace, a peace-filled home, joy-filled home, a home where the Lord is exalted. And then the Lord can move more freely to bless us. Amen? Now, some people may not have too much trouble in these areas, but from what I understand, with the divorce rate and everything else that's going on, there is strife in a lot of houses. Amen? Even Christians getting divorced. Now, come on, how can two Christians get divorced? that are walking in love towards each other. It can't happen. It just cannot happen, right? If you're walking in love with your mate and respecting them and everything, how could you end up in a divorce? It's a contradiction in terms, right? So, first of all, it takes two people to have an argument. This is kind of a more mature, maybe it's the Lord only wanted this many people here today, I don't know. Because this is a more mature message. This is getting down to how he wants to help us in our own personal lives and situations, you know. And I don't know everybody's life. I don't know what's going on in their homes, you know. It may be a knockdown, drag-out brawl every day, as far as I know. I don't know, you know. Or maybe it must be real sweet. I don't know. I have no idea. The Lord don't show me people's lives and stuff. I don't want to know, right? I got enough problems of my own. I don't want to know about people's problems. Unless if they come to me and say, hey, we need help, then we'll help them. But I don't want to butt into people's lives. Now, it takes two people to have an argument, right? Do you ever just argue with yourself all day long? No. It takes two people to argue, right? If one person pulls out and refuses to be drawn in, the other person is left arguing with themselves, right? It kind of takes all the wind out of their sail. See, if you refuse to argue, right? See, the other person is saying stuff, and okay, what you used to do before you're aware of all this, you used to just take the bait, right? You know, there's stuff goes on, right? And you're at each other's throat, and you're arguing, and there's this strife, and there's all these bad feelings. And I'll tell you what, the words you say when the strife hits is so, you know, can do so much damage. People get mad, they get angry, and they say things, you know, and it creates a lot of damage. It hurts a lot. You don't want to do that. So, actually, one person can put a stop to the strife because they can refuse to enter into it. You've got to be aware. You've got to be smart who's behind all this stuff, you know. The devil is, and he's trying to cause strife in your house and wreck your marriage and do all these other stuff. You got to understand his tricks. He wants to, you know, the Bible says we have the peace that passes understanding, okay? And the fruits of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, you know, love, peace, joy. I mean, the devil wants to steal that right out of your heart, right out of your mind, and especially right out of your home and your marriage, right? But you can refuse to enter into it. Even if the other person is fleshing out and acting like just a big carnal baby, you can refuse to enter in. Just walk away, right? If you refuse to enter into it, if you refuse to argue with them, if you keep quiet, you have started the beginning of the journey to having a strife-free home and marriage. If you can do that, because, you know, the enemy's going to say, well, everything they're saying is a lie, and it just makes me so mad, and I want to set them straight, boy, right? I am going to set her straight, or I'm going to set him straight, and I'm going to get my way, and I'm going to prove, you know, you can go through your head as doing all of that. I am going to, you know, and you've taken the bait, and now you've entered into it, see? But if you just say, no, man, I see what's happening. The enemy's trying to destroy the peace of my home. And you walk away from it. If you can get to that point, now you've begun the journey. You have begun the journey to having a strife-free home and marriage. Here's the dangerous thing about strife, you know, that we read in James 3:16. There is confusion in every evil work. Okay? What this means is, if you continue in strife, you open the door to the devil. Okay? You give place to the devil. Give him an opening, okay, to try and bring in any and all evil works. Okay? See, that's what that scripture says. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But we've already learned that that means you're opening the door to it, okay? It's not all, every evil work is not present in your home. But you open the door. This strife, I mean, let's face it, it's sin. It has to be sin because if you're not walking in love, right, Jesus commanded us to walk in love. So if you're not walking in love, you're already in sin. And strife is just, you know, hitting the bottom of the pit, you know. So you're opening the door. That's why strife is so bad. So what does that mean? Well, strife can open the door to sickness. It can open the door to lack. It can block your finances. It can block your faith. It can keep your prayers from being answered. It opens the door to emotions that are very destructive, like despair, helplessness, depression, discouragement. We don't have to have strife in our homes. Okay? A strife-free home doesn't just happen by accident. You must decide, you know, and declare that my home is a strife-free zone, right? You can do it. You can say, hey, announce to the devil and everything else that, hey, my house is going to be a strife-free home. You know, I think about that, what are those road signs where they got like a circle and then a line through it? That means like do not enter or something. No U-turns. There could be anything, you know. But there'll be a circle with a line through it. It means you can't do it, you know. Be nice to have one that says no strife with that line, circle and a line through it, right? A strife-free zone. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be opportunities or temptations to enter into strife. You may decide, you know what, I'm putting an end to strife in my home. And you declare it and you have success and things are really getting better. But what if all of a sudden a little argument pops up, a little bit of strife pops up, okay? It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean that you have failed. It says, hey, you take authority over it and get over that and deal with it and just continue on, right? Because whenever you try anything in the Lord in faith, you know, you're going to slip and fall once in a while, you know? Anybody ever experienced that besides me? Okay. But you made your decision to put it to an end, and it begins to diminish, okay? But like I say, there's something may pop up once in a while, and you just kick the old devil, right? It may pop up, but you're making a decision. I'm done with strife in my house. I'm done with it. Amen. The other one can go on all they want, but they're just going to be arguing with themselves, right? I'm not doing it no more. Amen. And that's what you do. That's one way you can put a stop to it. Or it could be on the job that some person's harassing you and doing this and that. You know, I've seen it work before. Is, you know what I did? What I would do, and it would just take the burden completely off of me. People, you know, over the years working, I worked for about 53 years, 55, I don't know, before I retired. And, you know, I had all kinds of times. It's like wherever you work, there's always one person who just gets under your skin, right? And sometimes they do really mean things to you. And after I became a Christian, I learned that God's word works, okay? I'll give you this one example. I was working at this place called Hanner Machine up in West Salem, and we were living in Silverton, I don't know how long I had been there, but anyway, it was time for raises, okay? And so everybody in that whole machine shop, I don't know if there's 30 of us or whatever it was, everybody got a raise in that place except for me. Boy, did that, man, you don't know how that felt, boy. And I was a good worker, this and that. They had a reason. They said, well, I was actually making a little bit more than the other guys, whatever, you know. So they felt like they would catch them up. I wouldn't get a raise this time. But, man, that's not the way you do it, you know, to do that to somebody. And everybody found out about it. We were all sitting up there eating lunch. So we had picnic tables in this upper thing. And this guy sitting across from me, he goes, well, how much raise did you get, Vic? And I said, well, I didn't get a raise. And this guy just laughed in my face hilariously. I was like, oh, man, it was just like somebody took a knife and just stabbed me in the heart, you know. And matter of fact, the other guy sitting there said, somebody ought to punch that guy in the mouth, you know, because of the way he did me, you know. And so, you understand, here's an opportunity for me to get into some serious strife. I just wanted to leap over the table, man, just grab him by the throat, you know. But I didn't do that. And I was a Christian, you know, had, you know, a few years probably. But it's one thing to be a Christian and go to church, but it's another thing to learn that the word really works and begin to apply it in your life. That's when you start growing. So I had these terrible thoughts. I couldn't get them out of my mind about this guy. And I said, Lord, Lord, what can I do? I go, I would think, what I could do to this guy. And everything I thought of, you know, the Lord was saying, you can't do that. And I would think of something else I want to do to him. Nope, you can't do that. That wouldn't make Jesus happy. And I went through this whole list of things that I wanted to do to this guy. And every time my conscience, I guess it was, or something says, no, you can't do that to him. And Jesus wouldn't like that, right? And I thought, well, shoot, after I went through this whole list of things, I thought, the only thing I can do for the guy is pray for him. That's the only thing that would not be a sin. And so I started praying for the guy. This is the same day, and I prayed, oh, and I know I had to get my heart right, okay? So I started praying. I said, Lord, I said, it was so hard to get it out of my mouth. At first, I said, oh, Lord, please bless that guy. Just bless him. Cause him to prosper. Bless his family. I prayed everything I could think of that was good for that guy. You know what I'm saying? Bless him, cause him to prosper and get promotions and anything and everything. His family, his children, everything. And man, when I got done praying, it was like a ton of bricks was off of my back. I'd never really done that before. But see, your nature don't want to do that, man. It wants blood. It wants revenge, right? But you see, if you do, see, that's the difference. God, Jesus expects you to actually obey his teachings, right? And so I did that, and it was just kind of like a thing inside of me and the Holy Ghost, and I kind of worked through this thing until I finally got to the point where I knew what to do. The only thing I could do that wouldn't be as sinful would be to pray for this guy. And I had to be praying the truth. I couldn't be a phony prayer, you know. I had to say, bless him and, you know, whatever. I had to do that. And so I did. And man, all that resentment and everything it was like a ton of bricks off my back. So the next day, we worked swing shift. We started like 3:30. The next day, I come to work and I parked I had a Chevy Blazer, you know. Oh man, it was nice, four-wheel drive. Probably before I met Dale. But anyway, I get out of my vehicle and I got my lunch bucket and I start walking over to the shop through the parking lot and here he comes out the door. And I said, oh, what the heck, are you leaving early or something? He says, oh man, they just fired me. I thought, holy cow, you know? So what's the scripture that the Lord says? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Or don't judge people. Turn it over to God. He will take care of it. See, when I prayed for this guy and opened up and I prayed everything good I could think about, and I just took my hands off it and just turned it over to God, okay? He judged that guy a whole lot worse than I would have ever did. You know what I mean? Yeah. See, when you obey God and do what's right, you put it over into his hands. He will take care of that guy. He will take care of that situation. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, he just, whew, that boy was gone. He fired him the next day. Okay? And it's not a coincidence, you know. It wasn't just a coincidence the guy got fired. It was, you know, all involved in this. I don't know how God did it or what it was all about, but, you know, I just did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And man, and that's not the only time. I learned a lot from that. So over the years, when I was working or conflict with people or something happened, they really did me wrong. I didn't go around hating them. I was not going to do that. I prayed, turned them over to God, and I prayed every good thing I could think of for those people. And I meant it, okay? And boy, God has done the same thing every time. Not necessarily fired them, but man, I mean, he dealt them. All of a sudden, they were exposed, and they were on the carpet, and I never said anything, just prayed. That's all I did was ever pray. And believe me, God will take care of it. You don't try to be the judge, you know what I mean, and do it yourself. You turn it over to God. Amen? If you just obey his word, that's all you got to do, is obey God and do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Right? That's all you're required to do. Obey his word. Do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. He'll take care of the other stuff. But you know, we want to get the justice and the revenge ourselves. Nope, it don't work that way. If you do that, now you're in deep trouble, see? You pray and turn it over to God. He will take care of it. And so that was a little side rabbit trail there, folks. Hope you got blessed out of that. But I'm telling you, the word of God works, and it will always work if you do what's right. Amen? Walk in love. That's a requirement. The Bible says, even love your enemies, right? So you can't hate those people and get revenge on the ones that do things to you, because that's sin. Love your enemy. Do good to those who spitefully use you and persecute you, right?
Right.
Jesus ain't just wasting his time saying this stuff. I mean, this is the laws of God. Amen? This is the Holy Scripture, and he expects us to do this. You have to remember that strife is a door opener. Not a can opener, a door opener. It opens the door to something more destructive and worse. The enemy, you're opening the door to the devil, the demons, to get into your life or into that situation and really cause some major problems if you don't put an end to it. It just tends to escalate until somebody, right? Somebody says, I'm sorry, and starts a reconciliation process, right? If nobody will say they're sorry, you know, if everybody's up on their high horse, too proud, then it's just going to escalate and get worse. Somebody has to do something, right? James 3:16 says, strife brings confusion, and confusion is not a fun thing. And it causes you, you know, it causes you to not be in the right place at the right time. You ever been where you're just totally confused? Our whole situations are confused? It's crazy, ain't it? I hate that. Well, it says it brings confusion. See? We don't want confusion. You know, that's a good confession to make, saying this. I'm always in the right place at the right time all the time, right? Hey, that's a good confession. Amen? The word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Amen? God should order my steps. That's what the word says, a righteous man. You may not be aware of it, but God is ordering your steps. You didn't know it, but when you were younger and you were faithful to God and you were a righteous young man, he was setting things up in your future. Jobs, finances, houses, relationships. He had this all worked out. He did in my life. I'm dumb as a rock, man. I can't take credit for nothing. My wife thinks I'm smart, and that all accounts. In some things, you know, we all have different gifts, right? And I have certain ones, and she knows what they are. And we talk about it sometimes. She has gifts. But you understand, nobody can take credit for anything. It's God. He orders your steps. Amen? See, when I left Silverton, Oregon, I had quit my job, man. 45 years old. You don't just quit your job and walk away when you're 45 years old and you've got no job and you've got no house now and everything is loaded up on a U-Haul and a trailer and you're heading out into a blizzard for about 1,800 miles with just a temporary place to live for just a short time. No job, nothing. And when you're 45, you should be starting to pay your house off and build your accounts and your 401ks, right?
Right.
But I was doing it in faith, following God. You know, it's like, hey, if this thing's not real, I want to find out now, right? God is real. And he, of course, you don't know it at the time. Everything's got to get proved out. Your faith, you're stepping out in faith, but that's what pleases God. Well, I went through all that. I worked for $5 an hour, man, going through that Bible college. And she did too. We made it. We never missed a beat on anything. How do you do that? How do you live on $5 an hour, right? Well, you say you can't. God can make it happen, man. I don't know how. He just does it. So we come back and come back out here and we start the Pioneer Church. And next thing you know, he gets me a job making about 3 times as much as I used to make as a machinist. Like, is that a coincidence? You know, I befriended somebody and I walked in love towards him, somebody that nobody else liked. It wasn't hard to even talk to. I did. I tried to be a friend to him and talked about Jesus. He's the one that told me about the job. It wasn't listed anywhere. And a matter of fact, when I went to the unemployment office and asked about it, they said, oh, there's no job there. It's not a computer, nothing else. I says, turn around, start to walk away. And something inside says, no, I don't walk away. And I went back and says, oh, come on, man. I know it's in that computer somewhere. Well, let me check again. No, there's no job. There's no job. And I started to walk away again, and something says, go back there. And I go back up that window, and I said, that guy told me that job was there. You know? And I just kept pushing. Well, she says, this was here in Lebanon at the unemployment. She says, well, let me check that Albany office up there. So she got a computer. Oh, yeah. Well, there is that job there. You know? And got me an appointment, you know, to go out to Armet at that time. Just like Wachang, it's part of the same thing. Went out there, man, they just thought I was the greatest thing since the invention of the wheel. All the things I'd done all my life was exactly what they wanted. And I got hired at a huge increase in pay. You know what I mean? Yeah, and every time I turned around, they was giving me stuff, stock. Every 3 months, they'd give me stock in the company, and it was just crazy, man. Yeah, but see, I gave up my job up there, moved away, just following God in faith, and sacrificed those several years, and worked for $5 an hour and stuff, and, you know, and the devil said, you're going downhill, boy. You don't go downhill when you've got God for a partner, right? When you're following Him, He provides. And so you end up way better off than you ever was because you stepped out in faith and followed God. See, if you just try to use your intellect and do your own thing, you're going to short yourself, man. You're going to miss so many blessings of God. Amen? So we can believe that God can have us at the right place at the right time, right? Because the right steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Amen? And start confessing, I'm always in the right place, at the right time, all the time. Amen? Amen. Another definition of strife is selfishness. Selfishness. At the root of strife is self-focus. Self-focus. And selfishness. I want my way. I want you to say what I want you to say, right? I want to say what I want to say. I want you to do what I want you to do. Well, we talked about this. The opposite of strife is love, walking in love. The Lord calls us to walk in love. You know, the Christian life you can't live the Christian life in your own strength with your own carnal flesh and your nature and your intellect, right? You can't live that Christian life. You got to be born again, right? Could you live as a Christian and obey all of God's commands and stuff without being born again? I don't think so. You couldn't do it. It's a supernatural life. You're living on a different level, okay? It has to come from the power of God inside of us. Amen? In order for you to live the Christian life, to really please God, it has to come from this power within, this new born-again spirit in conjunction with the Holy Spirit living in you. That's the only way you can live the true Christian life. You can't do it on. You can try to fake it and go through the motions and stuff, but you can't really live that way. It has to come from the power inside of us. You know, in Romans 5:5 it says, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen? There's a difference between human love and the love of God, which is the agape love in the Greek, the agape love. Love, human love, can turn from love to hate practically in a blink of an eye, you know. But God's love is not like that. The love of God is supernatural. So that's the kind, that's how we want to walk towards our fellow human beings and friends, wives, husbands, children, walk in love. You can't do it with just natural human love. You've got to have the love of God in you. Amen? It's the kind of love that God loved us with. Even though we were wretched and sinful and evil, He loved us anyway and came down here and died for us. Right? That is supernatural God kind of love. Okay? You know, it just takes a few negative words. It don't take a whole lot. Words are so strong. You know, it talks about in James, your words, one little spark can set off forest on fire. Your words, your tongue can do the same thing. Like a great big, like a huge ship, container ship or oil tanker ship out in the ocean, that little rudder is steering that big, huge ship, right? That's what the tongue is like. It compares it to that. Your tongue is like the rudder of this huge ship that's going to direct everything. And it just takes a few words to spark strife. You know, you don't have to preach a whole sermon, but it can just take a few words, not in love, that are, you know, kind of attacking the other person or abrasive or negative or whatever, to kind of open the door to let strife get in. Just a few words, you know, just a few words not said in love can spark the whole thing. It can poison the atmosphere of your home. Okay? Don't we all, I always think, hey, you know, there's no place else to go, man. I mean, I got my house and that's where my bed's at. That's where my chair's at. You know, and everything, there's no place else to go. Do I really want to poison the atmosphere in my own home? Right? Because that's where we live. Amen? Remember I said about saying amen once in a while? Right? I mean, your home is where you go. That's your nest. That's your little secure place. Right? And you want to have peace in your home. You want it to be a place where the atmosphere is good. Right? Well, you're going to create that atmosphere with your words, okay? With your attitude, how you speak to the other person. Are you always being respectful and kind and patient? And are you walking in love? See, your words are going to create that atmosphere in your home. You want an atmosphere. You can't just say, well, the devil did it. No, hey, he can't force you to say anything, right? He can't force you to do something. It's your mouth. He can try to push on you or whatever to get you to do stuff. But you got to make it, like I said earlier, you make this decision. I'm done with it, man. I am not going to allow it in my house. My house is going to be a strife-free zone, right? Oh. The Lord showed me, He says, you know, your home can be such a better place. Your marriage, see, you can always improve your marriage. Marriage don't have to be a big power struggle or just a fight and strife and all the time. It can be wonderful. Amen? If we just walk in love. And our words are the good words. Amen? Life-filled words. Your marriage and your home can be just a wonderful. It doesn't have to be a power struggle or fighting all the time or different things. It can be wonderful. The devil's the one that lies to you. And that's why people end up in divorce courts. Oh, there's no hope here. They'll never change, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I can't take it no more. The Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible says, you say, well, I don't know. Well, the Bible says and declares we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, right? Doesn't having a good home full of joy and peace, isn't that included in all things? Huh? We can do all things through Christ Jesus. I don't understand Christians say, well, I can't do that, and I can't do this, right? Come on. Jesus said, you can, the Bible says you can do all things, all things. There's nothing too big. There's not a mountain so big and so tall that you can't deal with it, right? Speak to the mountain. Amen? Tell it to get out of your way. Amen? So the Holy Spirit can help us live in a strife-free home, but you must decide you're done with it and you're not going to get involved with it anymore. Just think of it as poison and toxic. And you're not going to let your flesh indulge it. You know, we all have that old, we're not free from sin, you know. We're not exempt from the effects of sin in this life. And we have to overcome every day. But you have that old sinful nature, that old fleshy stuff or whatever that kind of wants to do its own thing. And, you know, you have to continually keep it under. Continually put down your flesh and choose to walk in love or obey God, right? I mean, you know, we all still have the choice. God did not turn us into robots. But because we're changed, the new creatures, we don't like sin no more, right? You know, we don't want to sin anymore. It's repugnant to us. We want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and obey Him. But sin will always try to creep in. There's not a Christian in this world that has never sinned after being born again, right? Paul said, hey, you're a liar, man, if you say you haven't sinned, you know. And he's preaching to the church. So ask God to help you. I always found that, boy, things work a little bit better when you ask God to help you. Amen? Start off with, the first thing is, God help, right? God help me. This surgeon that did my hand, he's done stuff for me before, but he you know, when he found out as a minister, when I went in for an appointment, he just wanted to sit down and talk to me because he was a Christian. And he just sat down and talked to me, you know, and wanted to know everything about our church and this and that. And I was talking to him. He said, well, he's a top surgeon too. I mean, his name's on the outside of the building over here in Corvallis, Dr. Vella. And he says, yeah, he says, you know, I got involved in this men's group and this and that. And so they wanted me to pray, you know, over the meeting or whatever. And he had never done anything like that before. You know, he just was a Christian, but he never, ever got up and said, and so he got up there to pray. Well, I looked up to him because he was a physician and a surgeon and famous and everything. And he gets up there and he couldn't pray. He didn't know what to say. And he said, the only thing I could say was, God help me. Just God help. That's all he ended up saying. That was his first prayer. And that was it. He didn't say nothing after that. He just said, God help, help me. Like that. That was his prayer. He said, now as the weeks and the months went by, he started getting better and he could pray, you know. But the first thing, he found out he couldn't hardly even pray. So he had to ask God for help, you know. And then he started developing and maturing in the Lord and learned how to pray. He's ready to help you. There, you know, something like this, he's definitely going to help you. And I think what this all boils down to in the end is learning to keep your mouth shut about half the time. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, that's putting it kind of crude, right? But it's our mouth that gets us into the trouble. So if we keep our mouth shut more often, we wouldn't get in so much trouble, right? You know, in a marriage, you have a man and a woman, right? Well, hopefully, these days, right? It's a man and a woman. And we tend to think a little differently, and we see things differently, right? Did you ever notice that about your wife or your husband, how they seem to think a little differently than you? She kind of sees it from a feminine point of view, and the guy kind of seeing it from a masculine male point of view. You know, don't fight against it. Don't fight against it and just accept it, right? You know, they got a book like Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus or something. You know, the Lord has us that way for a reason. You ever stop and think about that? The Lord has us that way for a reason. Now, I don't know what it is, but he does. He made the women, and he made Adam, and he put Adam to sleep, and took a bone, put one of his ribs out, Adam's rib, Okay? And he took it out and made a woman out of that Adam's rib. And then he put them all, patched that all up, and Adam woke up. So the first woman came out of a man. But then from then on, all people came, you know, were born of a woman. But, you know, it's so mysterious to me. I can't even figure it out. But women are different. They have this feminine. And I thought, well, what do I like about women? Well, I like the fact that they're feminine, right? That's what I like about women. They're feminine. Oh, I don't understand it. It's a mystery. But that's the way they are, right? I'm not looking for a wife that's masculine, right? You know what I mean? I want a wife that's feminine. And God, that's the way he made it. And the wife was looking for a husband that's masculine, you know? She wants some big guy to protect her, right? Take care of her, boy. Amen? When creepy noises are going around in the house at night, she can go, oh, that big old guy, he's right there. You know? He's going to protect me. Amen? So, the Lord has us that way for a reason. You know, where you're weak, I can help you. Right? Where you're weak, I can help you. Where I'm weak, you can help me, right? See, men have certain strengths, women have certain strengths, and it's part of learning to live together and you helping each other. And, you know, it's you know, God is a good God, amen? Somehow he did it like this, so that we have to learn to live with each other, have patience, kindness, goodness, and love each other and overcome all these different things. It's just, you know, each one brings something to the relationship. When we combine our strengths, our relationship really prospers. Okay? When we combine our strengths with each other. Amen? Praise the Lord. Here's another thought. Don't have self stuck up on the throne of your life. Okay? Where everything irritates you, everything offends you, that means self is on the throne instead of God, okay? You understand? In other words, everything is about me, me, me. Everything everybody else does irritates me, offends me. Love is the foundation of God's system. We must want, I want to walk in the love of God. You have to want that. I want to walk in the love of God, right? Strife, unforgiveness, and offense will kind of put an invisible wall around you, okay? And it kind of will isolate you. People won't want to be around you if you're stirring up strife all the time, okay? We are to live our lives with a purpose. And today our purpose is to eliminate strife, okay? Eliminate strife. You'll never reach that higher place that God has for you just because of simple daily strife. If you're involved in like simple daily strife all the time, you're not going to mature and grow into that place that God has. That is, you're stuck in this spot, and man, you've got to learn to deal with it. Just like that Kathy Mink said, if you will learn to eliminate strife from your life, you will jump up levels of maturity, because it takes obeying God's word. It takes growing in the Lord and giving up some things to get to that place where you got no strife. So that's why she says you're going to jump up levels of maturity if you'll do this, because you're going to have to overcome a lot of things, things of your flesh and a lot of things. That's what you're doing, is going through some growing pains, man, right? I'm giving up my rights to get even and get revenge with that hard-headed whatever. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And that's where Jesus wants you to get to. He wants you to give up to that place where, you know, it's just not worth it, man, to speak words that's just going to cause strife in your house or release this toxic atmosphere stuff, right? And so to get to that place, you're going to have to grow, and it's going to be a little painful, but you will grow. You will jump up levels of maturity when it's all said and done. You're becoming more the way Jesus wants you to be, right?
Right.
Where there is strife, somebody has to step up and say they're sorry. Bring about reconciliation when there's strife. Somebody has to be willing to do it. And even if you're, even if you think you have done nothing wrong and it's not your fault, sometimes you got to do it. Okay? He said, well, that's not fair. It ain't about being fair or anything else. It's about obeying the Lord Jesus Christ and getting the strife out of your house, right? And I kind of want to end with this little story she told. And I think I'd heard this story before. I think this gal, her name is Candy, and it's Brother Hagin's granddaughter. And I think she told the story at his funeral or memorial service down there at Rhema Bible Church. But Lynn and Kathy Mink related this story about Brother Hagin. They had a radio program, and they were interviewing this the granddaughter of Brother Hagin. Her name was Candy. And I guess they asked, they were, tell us some things about Brother Hagin that we didn't know. And so she told this story. She says, how when she was 18 years old, she got mad at, she got mad at Brother Hagin and yelled at him when she was 18 years old. Yeah. So she wanted to, what it was, she explained, she wanted to do something, and Brother Hagin told her that he didn't think it was wise to do that, whatever she was getting ready to do. She was 18. And he said, and that's what she got so mad about. Because he just, all he did was tell her, I don't think that's a wise thing to do. And so she went home and got really convicted, and she couldn't get the thoughts out of her mind, and she just couldn't stand it because she was having all these thoughts in her mind about Brother Hagin, how mad she was. So she was supposed to have dinner with Brother Hagin that evening, and she decided that she would apologize to him. Okay, now I don't know if it's probably a family thing, you know, with her parents. And so as soon as she got there, she went to him and was going to apologize. But before she could apologize, Kenneth Hagin said with tears in his eyes, please forgive me, Candy. And she said, Granddad, you didn't do anything. It was me. It was all me. And he said, this has really impacted me. The more mature, you know, our spiritually mature person is responsible to bring reconciliation. Yes. So, you understand, that really impacted me. And they talked about that on their program a little bit, about that when these things happen, it's the more spiritually mature person is the one who will reconcile it. To say, I'm sorry, forgive me, okay? And that's, even though he didn't do anything wrong, and the girl was mad at him because she just because he said he didn't think it was a wise thing to do, he had tears in his eyes and apologized to her. And she says, Granddad, you didn't do anything, it was all me. He says, yeah, but the more mature is responsible to bring reconciliation. And this whole that was worth the whole teaching when I read that. It just lets up. Turns on the light, so to speak. Amen? And so, see, it's not about necessarily who was right and who was wrong. Okay? If you're going to battle that out, it could go on forever. Because in this person's mind, they were right. But in this person's mind, they think they were right too. Okay? The devil may have just convinced each person, or for the way they looked at the situation, they both think they're right. The whole idea is get that strife out of your house just as fast as you can, right?
Right.
It's like you got this toxic gas and smog in your house. Hey, get the windows open, man, and blow the stuff out with the fans or something. You know what I mean? The idea is that reconciliation, to get that done with. And the spiritually mature person, I got to worry about battle and, you know, who's right, who's wrong. I can see my house is being filled with toxic gases and smog and whatever, right? Spiritually speaking, it's you're opening the door to the devil and everything else. So, hey, the spiritually more spiritually mature person is going to do something, amen. So, we've got to walk out this Christian life, right? Right. So, kick the devil out, amen. That's a good time for everybody to say amen.
Amen.
All right, kick the devil out. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope that blessed you as it must bless me, and I wish there was more family and husbands and wives and, you know, here, but we'll have the CDs, and hopefully they can listen to it at home, but I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to talk about today. Amen? And it really, remember, James 3:16, not John 3:16, James 3:16, and it talks about that. Amen? Envy and strife opens the door, man. Where there's envy and strife, there's every confusion and evil work. Okay? It opens the door. So strife is a bad, bad thing. You don't want it, right? And we need to, this opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. And if you listen to the tape or, you know, whatever, more, or study it yourself, you know. It can just cause you to grow so much and overcome things. Amen? Amen. But you got to say in your heart, I'm not going to put up with it no more. I'm done with it, man, right? And you got to be determined. You got to make sometimes radical decisions, right? I mean, our God is a radical God, man. He's supernatural, right? And you may not have a situation now, but you may have one in the future, right? But now you've got some word, you know, in you to help you deal with that. Amen? All right. Praise God. Was there anything that anybody wanted to share or need prayer for? Nope.
Well, I learned that nothing is what really is. Until, you know, sometimes you go to work and get so, this guy says something to you. It's just irritates you, but you just take offense, but find out that him and his wife had a big fight, and he took it out on you.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Once you, as you go through life and you run into these situations, you can, there will be a scripture that will come to mind, like that one that says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. You think, oh, that's just an interesting scripture. Hey, that scripture is huge, man. I've used that scripture when I've got problems or anxieties or something is really happening and it's just tormenting my mind. Man, I've used that scripture. I say, Lord, I just did what it said. I give you this, whatever the problem was, whatever it was. I cast these cares on you. They're not mine anymore. And bloom, instantly, man, instantly. It's like 100 pounds of rocks off my back. It absolutely works. If you will do what the Word of God says, practice it, you'll see it will work. We just try to deal with everything in our own strength, you know, and it's just too much for us. We need to, yes.
I just want to give glory to God and thank Him again. I got the CD that shows the picture of my back. The condition is still there, but I have no pain.
Praise God. There you go. You're just walking on water, man. You're walking on water. You're walking by faith with the Word of God. Amen. You know, that's it. What you have to decide in your heart is like, God's word
is real.
It trumps whatever the doctors say. It trumps whatever anybody says. I believe God's word. Amen? And it is the prime priority in my life. His word is true. And it's higher on a, you know, than other things. It's just like, I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the doctors say. His word says, and that's what I'm going to believe.
And when you said you don't care what the circumstances are, when I saw that picture and the condition was still there, and I have no pain, man, that proves that right there.
That's right. But you have to decide, I believe what God says. See, here's the deal, man. If you don't believe what God says, you believe what somebody else says or circumstances, God's going to be real disappointed in you. He says, hey, I'm God. I created you. I created the planets, the universe. Why don't you believe me instead of what some earth person wrote in a book with their puny little wisdom, right? I'm God. I know. I have all knowledge and everything. And when I'm telling you, you know, I told you right here in the Bible, why don't you believe me? You see, he could get offended at that. And he does, right? Because you don't believe what he says. You take some somebody else's word over God's word. And that's really the point. Believe God, believe His word. He's the supreme. He's our creator. Amen. So, you got a word, hon? Oh, she wants to give a testimony.
A few years ago, my son worked for Otis Funkmeyer, and he, his boss would say really bad things to him a lot, even in front of other workers, and that is not right. So he called me and told me, this was years ago, and the Lord gave me a word for him in Isaiah, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. When you go through the water or the fire or the river, I'll be with you." And so he was really hurt. You know, when somebody does that to your kid, it hurts you too. So I gave him that scripture, and he said even some of the people in that company told him, "That is wrong. That is, you don't do that." And he was a high up guy. So anyway, time went by, and Otis Funkmeyer was going through a change, and this high up guy who came against my son, he had to leave. The ones that were higher in that company, they were downsizing. And so he had to leave, and right before he left, he did come and tell Billy that he was sorry that he did that. But Billy let it go. He didn't say a word to him. He let it go, and the Lord took care of it. And then he had to leave, but Billy was still there. So, you know, let the Lord take care of it. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord."
Amen.
That's Romans 12:19.
Amen.
So anyway,
hey.
It happened. It happened good for him, like it did for Vic.
Yeah, it's kind of like what goes around comes around. You know what I mean? If you're doing wrong and evil things, eventually it will catch up with you. Amen. If you're serving God and doing what's right, eventually, you know, what does it say? The cream always comes to the top, but that's kind of what's going to happen in the end. Amen. I've seen it happen a lot of times. When you think that evil person was getting all the promotion, getting all the money and doing all this, you think, how's this? You know, I'm a Christian. Well, how come? You just wait a little bit, and you'll see they get what they deserve. Yeah, amen?
And the
Lord does it. Amen. Father, thank you for today's message, and I know that it really ministers to me, and I think it ministers to others. And we thank you for that, Lord, because there's nothing that we can't do. Nothing is impossible for us if we have faith and believe, and we are determined and committed to following you, Jesus, and obeying your word. And we thank you. You defeated the enemy, and we're kicking him out of our lives and out of our homes. Amen. Every time he popped his head up. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.